Welcome to the Irresistible You podcast. This is the place to get a dose of empowerment to create the life you crave and deserve. I'm your host, Amy Beltran, CEO and founder of Irresistible University. Through my podcast and coaching program, I teach women just like you how to ditch the body image issues, gain confidence, and lose the emotional weight to look and feel irresistible at any size. If you like the podcast, you're going to love my group coaching program. If you want to learn more about it, including the cost, what's included, and see real client testimonials, and to sign up and enroll, please head over to irresistibleicing.com/course. All right, guys, welcome back to the podcast. I want to talk with you today about stress, girl. We are not trying to stay stressed. We are trying to get blessed. We are not trying to be stressed, okay? We are all about getting out of that just chronic stress. And the reason I want to talk to you guys, and I know I said last week I would have an episode of 10 pounds 10 times. Y'all, spring break was crazy, all the sicknesses with all the children's, and it just did not happen, and I apologize for that. But I still weighed in, I still stayed accountable, and I am going to share with you not only last week's results, but also this week's results. So stay tuned for that. That will be coming later this week. But I started reflecting on the month, because I had told you guys at the beginning of April that I was really wanting to get back to intentional weight loss. You know, I've had a very hard last, you know, 1 or 2 years. It's just been very stressful. It's been very just survival mode. We've talked about that. We have all the episodes about that. We're not going into that. And I noticed, I was like, what am I doing differently? Because the scale, since I made that intention, right, and I really decided it's time, the scale has been going down. And I started thinking, I'm like, well, what am I doing differently? I haven't really changed much in terms of my diet, you know, what I'm eating. I don't follow a diet, you know, what I eat. I guess I've cut back on a few things here and there, but not, I'm not depriving myself. Y'all, I've been eating the Cadbury caramel eggs, okay? I've been, you know, living my life and enjoying my food and enjoying myself. And I also noticed, okay, I can't seem to eat as much either. So, like, I'll get my food. We do order out a lot. We just do. It's just busy life, right? It is what it is, and your girl don't like to cook. And I've noticed that when I eat, I'm not really able to finish my entire meal. And I've been throwing a lot of food away because I'm actually physically full and I don't crave, you know, wanting to go back in the kitchen later and finish the leftovers because, you know how that goes. And the weight has been coming off. I'm not going to say it's falling off because that's a little much, but it's consistently dropping week after week. And I have also been feeling lighter mentally and emotionally. And that is not because of the weight loss. The weight loss, I believe, is because of how I'm feeling emotionally and mentally. And y'all know from listening to the podcast, if you don't lose your emotional weight, you cannot drop your physical weight. And I just feel like I have really experienced that in a whole different way, where like the last, I don't know how many months, 8 months, 10 months, whatever, I've just been kind of at the same number. I haven't gained, but I haven't been losing, right? So that we call that a win. If we're maintaining, that's still a win. We're not gaining, we're not going up the scale. And a lot of this comes from self-awareness and all those things. But I started thinking about it and I'm like, well, what's changed? And I actually remember the shift. I remember feeling the shift where when I got the phone call with Chewy's biopsy results, Chewy is my 12-year-old Chihuahua. He just had his spleen removed because they found a mass. They thought it was probably cancerous. And they called me and told me it's benign. There is no cancer. He's cured. Like, taking it out is the cure to this particular issue. And I mean, I just fell to my knees. And that amount of stress and pressure that came off of my chest, because for 2 months, you know, we're having appointments, we're going back and forth. Oh my God, should we do the surgery? Should we not do the surgery? If we do the surgery, he could pass away. If we don't do the surgery, there's a guarantee that he's going to pass away because the mass will explode and he will bleed to death. Y'all, it was just one of the hardest decisions I've ever had to make, my husband and I both. And that was really, really stressful. And I mean, you guys, like, one of the options they gave us is they're like, you know, you probably should just go out for a day, do all his favorite things, give him all his favorite food, and then schedule a day to bring him and, you know, say goodbye. And I'm like, girl, what? Like, huh? Like, we really thought, like, oh my God. And he was acting fine. He looked great. But they're like, yeah, you know, it's more than likely, like, it really mimics what a cancerous tumor looks like and all that. So anyway, we go from, you know, thinking that, and there was something in my mind that was like, no, we're going to give him every chance possible. And thank God we did, because he's good. He's thriving. He's doing wonderful. And that like, when I found that out, it was just like this lightness that came over me. Because it has been, I guess, a year and a half to 2 years of a lot of chronic stress, a lot of survival mode stuff. And it got me thinking, I'm like, is there something to this? Because I don't feel like I've really, like, I mean, I'm not over here, like, eating, you know, I'm not doing a diet. I'm eating whatever I want, okay? And there is something to it. Because when your body is in chronic stress, there are actual physiological things happening inside of you that cause your body to hold on to weight or to gain weight. So even if you're, you know, eating clean or eating healthy and doing certain things, you may not even see the weight coming off the way you think it should or at all because of the hormones and the things that are going on inside of your body. And it really highlighted for me how much stress is related to weight gain and weight loss. And just, you know, I already know how strong the connection is to the mind and the body, that it's all like all one. And that's why we talk so much about emotional weight, because if you do not lose that emotional weight, you cannot get the physical weight off, or you will not get it off in the long term, right? And I would say that stress, we're going to lump that under emotional. That's emotional weight. That's an emotional toll that we're carrying on our back. And there are sometimes seasons of your life where you are going to be under that chronic stress. And what I mean by chronic stress, what it means is just day in and day out for weeks, for months, for maybe years of just, you know, very stressful things going on. We're all going to have stress. Every single day you're going to experience stress. You know, that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is prolonged chronic stress and the effects that it has on you. And there are so many effects. You know, and I think we hear stress, I know at least for me sometimes, and it just sounds so like, yeah, that's generic, whatever. Like, it just sounds generic to me. But stress does so many bad things. It does so many bad things to our body. And the original purpose of it was actually good. It was intended to keep us safe. But we no longer need to be safe from, you know, wild animals and famine and all these other things that were going on. So when your body does go in chronic stress, it like holds on to everything. It holds on to the weight. It holds on to the fat because it's trying to protect you in case there is something going on like that, right? And it's just so crazy to me, guys. Like, I am just like blown away by this whole thing. Like, I already know this stuff, but it just, I don't know. I think it just highlighted for me again how important it is to make sure you are doing what you can in your power to reduce your stress load, to drop your emotional weight. Because when you're in that chronic stress survival mode type of state, it's hard for you to think about anything else. It's hard for you to focus on other things. It is hard to focus on the thing at hand, right? Yes, I'm not going to pretend to know everything about the scientific ways that this stuff works, you guys, but, you know, we have different hormones in our body. Cortisol is one of them, and insulin being another. And when we are in that heightened stress state, that fight or flight state, these hormone levels are raised, and they do certain things in our body that allow us to hold on to weight, that allow us to hold on to fat, that, you know, and because we're not running away from, you know, big crazy wildlife creatures and things like that, we're not releasing that, those hormones, the way that we should. And so we hold on to these things. And so that's kind of like my that's like my 2x4 explanation of what's going on there. So we're not going to get into all of that. You guys can read up on that on your own. But, you know, sometimes when you're in that stress type of life and environment, you don't realize that you're even in it. You know, it's a very interesting thing. And it's like, I have even noticed me having more of a craving or a zest for life again, of like things that I haven't had time to even think about doing. I'm like, oh, that would be a cool project to take on, or oh, I want to maybe try that, or, you know, things that I didn't have the mental space 2 months ago or 6 months ago or a year ago to even think about doing certain things, because it just wasn't. It's like when you're in that survival mode, that's it. That's all you have. That's all you can focus on, right? And we do our best, and that's all we can do. But I want to share this because I feel that one of the most important things for you to have is to have the self-awareness of when you are in these different states, right? I have known that I've been in survival mode. I have known that I have been living with chronic stress for the past like 1 to 2 years, right? I have known this. So because I know it, I haven't fully let myself get attacked and absorbed by it all and just let everything go to shit. I've done just enough to keep my head above water, you know, to have some fun here and there, but to like just barely getting by in that survival mode, right? And not be putting on all the weight again and acting like we don't know what's happening. Because that's the other thing, right? We go through these modes, or we go through these stages where we're like super stressed out, blah, blah, blah. And it's like we don't understand how we gain the weight, or we don't realize we're gaining the weight until we have this moment of clarity. It's kind of like what I'm talking about now, where, you know, the dust is starting to settle, the fog has been lifted, and now I'm like, okay, I can see things that I couldn't see before that I want to do, because I couldn't mentally give a shit about those things. And what I want to share with you is how to get more self-aware, so that if you do find yourself in chronic stress or survival mode, you don't completely lose yourself in the process, because it's very easy to do that. And it is not realistic to think, well, I'll never be stressed out. Yes, you will. You will have things that are going to happen. You're going to have things that take you down to your knees. You are going to have those things in life, right? The things that we have to do is to be able to recognize and to know ourselves so well that we can recognize when these things are happening. We can recognize when we're not feeling like ourselves. And, you know, doing what you can in those circumstances to help yourself move through it, okay? And one of the biggest things with stress, guys, you have to be self-aware. You have to know when you're in it. You have to be able to know and recognize, okay, you know what? I'm not operating. And I had said that before, like, I am not operating at my optimal self. I am not operating at my highest level right now. I have said that before, you know, probably a few episodes back. And I'm going to operate the best I can given the situation, you know, and knowing that these situations, these things that are going on, they're not always going to be there. Because when you're not self-aware, you fall into victimhood. You fall into being a victim of life. Oh, why do these things always happen to me? And it's been one thing after another and blah, blah, blah. And you're not taking care of yourself and you're not making yourself a priority. And you wake up one day and you go, how the hell did I get here? You know, and you don't even recognize yourself anymore. So we have to become more self-aware. Becoming self-aware requires you to tap in. You know, let's talk about how to do those things, right? So how to become more self-aware. Number one, you have to listen to your thoughts. You have to listen to your inner voice. That inner voice that you have is a warning system. And so often we hear that inner voice, or especially when it's the inner critic and the inner fat bitch, and what do we want to do? We want to run away from it. We want to distract ourselves with food, distract ourselves with life, distract ourselves with being the, you know, mom of the year volunteer. Instead of sitting down and listening, knowing this is a warning and I need to listen to what this voice is telling me. And not only just listening and getting still and listening to those inner thoughts, but then also recognizing that those thoughts aren't the truth, and you can change and you can believe whatever you want to believe. You can think whatever you want to think. We have the ability, and it is an option. It is a choice. A third thing here, guys, is being intentional about your time. You know, you might be pressed, stretched so thin that you don't think you have time in the day for yourself. But I promise you, there are nuggets of time that you can take, that you can schedule, that you can be intentional. And not only is it just about being intentional about your schedule, it's being intentional about how you use and how you show up in the time that you have. You know, getting realistic about, you know, I know that I have been in a season of life where I don't necessarily have time to foster a lot of friendship type stuff. I wish I did. I wish I had more of a friend group. I wish I had more of a, you know, like a friend group that like all gets together and everybody's kind of on the same page, the kids and life. And I don't have that right now. And I don't have the time and the bandwidth to go out and foster that. I just don't. So I'm going to, instead of going, oh, poor me, it's like, yeah, that would be nice. But right now, that's just not where I am in my life. So you have to be intentional about how you spend your time, where you spend your time, who you spend your time with. That is really, really important. And a fourth thing is get a damn routine. One of the best ways to maneuver through life, through stress, through anxiety, is to have a set routine, something that you know you can count on every single day. Having a routine is so, so important. Also, like, you know, the kids home for spring break or for summer break or whatever. It's like, we're not, you know, for me, you know, every so often, okay, fine, have a pajama day, roll around the house, don't brush your hair, whatever. But let me tell you something. We're not doing that 7 days a week. Kids need structure. They need a routine, and so do adults. And like I tell my daughter too, I'm like, you're not going to roll around here with pajamas on and, you know, not brushing your hair and not getting dressed just because you don't have school today. We're not about that, because it sets the intention and the tone for the entire day. So you need to have a routine. Wake your ass up. You guys, I cannot tell you how life-changing just getting up and making your damn bed is. I cannot stand to see a bedroom with an unmade bed. It's like, is it really that hard? And there is something mentally that shifts for me when I wake up and make the bed versus if I get up, go in the bathroom, get ready for the day, take a shower, and I come back into the bedroom and the bed is just looking, it's like, nah, that's not it. This is not it. We need to get up and we need to make the bed. We need to get in the shower. We need to wash our face, brush our teeth, put that makeup on, get your hair done, put something cute on, and go about your day. Have a routine. I cannot tell you enough how important it is to have routines. Some people say, oh, but having a routine, I like to be spontaneous. It's like, I like having a routine so that I do have the ability to be spontaneous. If I have a set routine and I know, okay, my schedule tomorrow, I'm going to be done with work by 2 p.m. So we can go do something spontaneous. Like, it just, structure gives you freedom. Structure eliminates anxiety. And there is a reason, guys, people that go into like rehab and, you know, recovery and stuff like that, one of the big things they focus on is structure and routines and schedules. We thrive as human beings. Cannot say that enough. And the fifth thing that I want to say here is you've got to spend some time alone. You have to spend time alone. And what I mean by that is spending time alone, getting to know yourself outside of the different roles and titles that are attached to you. Spending time alone where you are not the employee, the business owner, you are not the mom, you are not the teacher, you are not the wife, you are not a friend, you are just you. And just getting to know yourself on that level, because for so many people, they don't know themselves because they're afraid to spend time with themselves. So they fill their schedule with volunteering, with work, with, you know, 500,000 activities for the kids. Y'all, them kids don't need 500,000 activities. I cannot with that. Like, yes, I believe in keeping our kids busy. I believe in all that kind of stuff. But like, we don't need to have our kids out 7 nights a week doing a bunch of bullshit. It's just, it's too much. It is too much. And where do you fit in that equation? Where? You know, I ride for my, y'all know me, I ride for my kids. I love my children. But I am not about to be out here, you know, 7 days a week doing kid stuff, activities, carting back. Like, we're not, no. We're going to teach our kids that they are important, and so am I. We're going to teach our kids that they can have a life, they can have extracurricular activities, and guess what? So does mama. Okay, we're not going to teach our kids to give up everything they love for someone else. And some of y'all may not agree with me, and that's fine. But for me, I truly believe in teaching my children that you can love people, you can do for others, but if you don't do for yourself, you're not giving your best self to those people. You know what I mean? So anyway, I'm going to get off that soapbox for a minute. You have to find time to spend alone. You need to take yourself out on a date. You need to, and let me say why, okay? This goes back to what I said a minute ago, where you need to be able to listen to your inner thoughts, your inner voice, especially that inner fat bitch. We need to be able to listen to that. You cannot hear your thoughts. You cannot listen when you're running around to soccer practice and this practice and taking care of this person's project and going to this meeting and this, you don't have time. You don't have any, I call it white space. You know, when you have a notebook, you need margins and you need white space when you're writing. And if your entire page has writing all over it, there is no room left for you. And doing these things allows you to not be fully consumed by the stress that comes in your life. I can't tell you, you know, obviously doing these things is not going to stop the next event that happens to you, the next tragedy, the next, you know, stressful thing. Lord knows it's not going to stop the IRS and all their stress, okay? So what this does do is it gives you a foundation to stand on. It gives you something that when those things happen and you find yourself falling down that hole of chronic stress, you don't necessarily fall down the hole as far. And I feel like for me, that's kind of where I was. It's like, yes, I had all these things going on, some really crazy stuff, but it did not fully consume me and it did not tear me apart. And when you can be self-aware, you can listen to your thoughts, you can get intentional, you can follow routines, when those times happen, you have, it's like you have a framework to stand in, right? The stress is going to be there. It's always going to be there. But how are you going to manage it? And I have said before in this podcast, one of the most important things you can ever learn in life is how to manage your damn emotions. You have to. You have to learn how to manage your emotions. You have to learn how to lose the emotional weight. And that's why the, you know, going back to weight loss, that's why these diets, they don't work. And how many times have you tried to shove yourself into some bullshit diet when you've got all these things going on in your life feels like it's falling apart, and then you're like, oh, see, it doesn't work. It doesn't work because I'm just so busy. I have all this going on. It's like, no. It's like, no, it doesn't work because you haven't dealt with yourself. You haven't dealt with how to lose the emotional weight, and those bullshit diets, they're not going to teach you how to do that. And until you can manage yourself through the ups and the downs, then you're always going to gain the weight back. You will never keep the weight off. You will never get to where you want to go because you're not learning how to deal with the good and the bad. You cannot just lose weight when times are good. And how many times have you found yourself, oh, I'm going to start this diet. I'm going to go on Deal-A-Meal or whatever the hell stupid diet it is. And it's like the minute something goes wrong, And we're not talking, you know, some big tragedy. We're talking you get a flat tire on the way home. Oh, see, now I can't lose weight. Think about how asinine it sounds. Like when we actually sit here and we analyze it and we think about the stuff that we say to ourselves, I can't lose weight because I got a flat tire. Are you kidding me? It's like the demon came over you because you got a flat tire and you went to the drive-thru and got a double cheeseburger with bacon and God knows what. Seriously, like, come on. This is why we have to tune in. We have to listen. We have to change our thoughts. We have to get intentional, not even just our time, but with everything in our life. And this is how you can get through chronic stress without also losing yourself completely in the process and without also gaining 50, 100 pounds in the process. And I know I've said it before, but I know the old me before I, you know, created Irresistible You, I know 120% for sure that given what happened last year, I would easily be probably 50 to 100 pounds larger right now, that I would have gained all of that weight. I know I would have because I didn't have the coping skills. I didn't have the ability to tune in and be self-aware. I was terrified to be by myself. I was terrified to listen to my own thoughts. And I had no clue that the actual key to happiness, the actual key to getting the weight off is when you lose the emotional weight first, is when you learn how to talk to yourself, is when you learn how to reframe and choose different thoughts. It's like weight loss, anything, not even just weight loss, anything that you want in your life, it all starts in your head, all of it. And that's especially weight loss. Weight loss does not have anything to do with what's on your plate. Okay, yeah, it does to an extent. You feel me? You know that. But if you put on that plate all these healthy things, it doesn't mean anything until you deal with the emotional weight. And we talked about that at the beginning. Because your body actually also can eat all these healthy things and not drop the weight because you haven't dropped the emotional weight, the stress that's holding you back. And as long as you're holding on tight to that stress, you're going to be holding on tight to the actual physical pounds. And that's not to say you still don't have to put the work in because, yeah, you do, right? You still have to put the work in. But my point being is that as long as you're chronically stressed out and carrying around all this emotional weight, you can't expect the physical weight to come off. You've got to deal with what's in your head first. You have to. You just have to. So anyway, I'm going to end it on that note, you guys. I hope this episode was helpful. If it was, you can leave a rating and review on Apple Podcast or whatever your podcast player of choice is. There are many out there that I know people listen using different things. You can also come on over into the free Facebook group and leave a post, comment, ask questions, start a conversation, anything you want to do over there. And then you can also follow me on Instagram at irresistibleicing. That's more of my like behind the scenes, you get a, you know, glimpses into my personal life, my family, and things that are going on here with the podcast. So I thank you for your time. Thank you for listening. I will catch you in the next one. Until then, stay irresistible. Bye, guys.